Brother Denny said that we were in for a real treat. We didn't have to listen to him. I was thinking to myself, you know, when I'm done, you may be looking forward to hearing him next time saying, now we're in for a real treat. It's so good to be here. 50 years ago, my wife and I were in this town. I want to say this morning, Pastor sent me a text and said, we're praying for you. And I really appreciated that. You know, last Sunday, the pastor impressed me by saying, you know, how blessed he and Sister Treva were just to be pastoring the church here, and how he loved the people. And I was sitting there and thinking, you know, how blessed we are to have our pastor. Great man of God, great man of God. And my wife and I, God has graciously helped us serve in the ministry for 50-plus years. But I come to church here, and honestly, I feel like I'm learning. I feel like, Lord, you know, why didn't I see that? The pastor is just, he's just so gifted, and Sister Treva as well. Matter of fact, I want to thank Brother Jonathan back in the sound booth. He knew that I would need some help this morning, and so he gave me Sister Treva's microphone. I said, you know, that should help me sound better because she is so gifted, you know. So at any rate, we are so blessed with our pastor, as I said. And my wife and I went home, what was it? Was it last Wednesday evening after service or whatever? And I said to my wife, I said, you know, I could never do what the pastor does. He is so gifted in leading I really couldn't do it. No one else could come in and do it because God has called him. And I praise God and thank God for he and Sister Treva. All that being said, what a blessing it is that you're here today. And most of all, our precious Savior Jesus is here. And we are going to, by the grace and help of God, have a personal encounter with our Lord this morning. And I want to take you to the Gospel of St. Luke this morning, chapter number 9. I want to share with you about the Mount of Transfiguration. I have been in prayer. Well, I prayed quite a bit. And I had thought I would perhaps preach about, you know, the time Jesus went into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and they laid the branches down and worshiped our Lord, Hosanna in the highest. But as I was in prayer, I felt impressed that I should share this text with you. So Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet and told no one in those days of any of the things that they had seen. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, you have so lovingly sent your only Son, our Lord Jesus, as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. No other price could be paid. No other price could ever meet our great need for redemption. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will take each one of us by hand up to the Mount of Transfiguration today. Oh God, that we may have a personal encounter with you. We pray, oh God, that you will manifest your presence among us this morning. We ask you, Lord, to be glorified. We thank you, oh God, for your gracious love and tender mercies to us each day. And in all these things, we pray that the name of Jesus will be glorified. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Several years ago, when our oldest daughter, Bonnie, was in fifth grade, her fifth grade class was going to take a nature trip to Elk Mountain up in northeast Pennsylvania. They needed chaperones, so my wife and I volunteered to serve as chaperones. We went with the fifth grade class, and when we arrived, they assigned my wife and me to certain children. My wife had a group in her cabin, and they stayed overnight one night. They assigned her certain girls, and she would be in the cabin with them, monitoring them. And they gave me the most difficult students they had in the fifth grade. That's what they told us. We're going to give you a group of boys. Like I said, Reverend, we'll give you a group of boys. That'll keep you on your toes. And they promised all the kids, now listen, they said, the group that is the most disciplined, the group that just is just the best group overall, we are going to give them a giant pizza party. If you're in fifth grade, I mean, a pizza party. You don't want to miss a pizza party. You don't want to miss anything now. No, that's right. So I got these boys in the cabin, fifth graders. And I said, fellas, I said, everybody thinks you guys are a bunch of losers. I mean, after all, they say you're the troublemakers. And they don't think you could ever win. But guys, I know that you can win. They said, yeah, we can win. I said, but do you really want to win? We want to win. I said, but, you know, if you want to win the contest, you are going to have to learn some certain disciplines, because they're going to award the best group the prize. Oh, you teach us. We'll learn. Well, I got those boys marching to the different activities two by two. I said, I want you guys to think like you're in the Army or in the Marines. And you just march down there, you know, and stay in step. Don't let anybody, you know, get you running after them, because we want to win this contest. Yeah, we want to win the contest. We went to meal time, and I told the fellas, now listen, I want you guys to pull the chairs for the girls, pull them out, and help them get seated. And guys, you take the trays for the girls and for the teachers. And you take their trays and put them away for them. Oh, yeah, we're going to win. Honestly, it was the mercy and grace of God I watched those boys. One of the boys pulled out a chair, I'll never forget, one of the fifth grade teachers, and she bent down and gave Dougie a kiss on his cheek. Dougie about lost it. He didn't know what to do with that. But long story short, those fifth graders won the contest. They won. You know, I think a lot of times we aim awfully low. We get so used to low-level living. By that, I don't mean it doesn't necessarily mean we are in sin. Of course, it could include that. But we never really, when we pray, for instance, really expect God to do a miracle now. We really don't expect God to show up on Tuesday afternoon or Thursday early morning. We don't expect God to really meet us on an everyday occurrence. But God hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus wants to take us out of the low level of unbelief, the low level of our fears, our worries, our anxieties. Jesus wants to take us out of our habits that so enslave us, that keep us from moving forward with our life. So this morning, by God's grace, we are going to take a journey with our Lord Jesus. You will notice in our scripture here, in verse 28, it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Have you ever thought that Jesus in this service would call you by your name? He's here this morning. Jesus is risen. Let us not think as though Jesus is dead. That we're talking about somebody who's dead who can't do anything. And we don't really expect him to meet us on the journey of life, because life just kind of goes on the same, the same, the same. But oh friends, if you would just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart today. And just as he singled out Peter, John, and James, Jesus is coming to you this morning. And he wants to lay his hand on your life. You are not just another person in the crowd. You are not just another face to be counted. I remember years ago in our churches, we used to have these attendance boards. Thank God we've been delivered from that. But really, we are not just another face. Jesus still loves you. It doesn't matter how littered your past may be, or the difficulties you are facing today. I could hear the voice of Jesus calling, Peter, James, John, come with me to the mountain. So he's calling you this morning by name. He's saying, come with me. Last Sunday, I remember how the pastor shared about the omnipresence of God. God is present everywhere. And he's so accurate. That's so true. But at the same time, the pastor mentioned the manifest presence of God. That God in peculiar times and special places, special ways, manifests his presence. I've been praying about that for this service. That God will so manifest his presence in your life, so unmistakably, that you will have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that Jesus went up to a high mountain. Well, Matthew and Mark tell us. Luke says he went to the mountain to pray. But you look at the other Gospels and they refer to it as a high mountain. Most Bible scholars understand this mountain to be Mount Hermon in northern Israel. Mount Hermon has three peaks. From the north to the south, two of the peaks are 9,400 feet high. The peak on the west is 9,300 feet, and on that mountain, it's 11,000 feet above the Jordan Valley. So Jesus said to his men, "Come with me to this mountain and climb it with me." Now, Peter, James, and John were outdoorsmen. They were rugged men. They knew what it was to go out fishing and battle the wind and the waves. They knew what it was out on the Sea of Galilee. They understood how physically taxing it could be to climb that mountain. From the nearest point on Mount Hermon, to go to the top would take 6 hours. Now, we are not told in the scripture how far Jesus and his disciples went to reach their destination. But it required quite a bit of physical effort. And the Bible tells us in verse 32, "But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep." They were exhausted. These men who were physically fit, much more physically fit than I am today, they were just exhausted after a several hour climb to where they reached the place where Jesus had them stop. You know, I think a lot of times we become spiritually exhausted. How often as it is, I remember years ago when I attended Central Bible College, and I thought to myself, I know my mother was praying for me because the Lord put it in my heart to learn how to pray. Her emphasis was prayer. She was a prayer warrior. And I thought to myself, now, son, if you're going to be a preacher, you better learn how to pray. I remember going to the prayer room. I made up my mind at 9:30 every evening. Didn't matter what was going on, 9:30, I made my way to the prayer room. I still remember being in there the first time. And bowed my head, I looked up, 5 minutes, man. That seemed like eternity. 5 minutes. I mean, really. God help the people I was going to pastor because I wasn't good at praying. But I kept at it. That 5 minutes turned into 10. I kept at it until I became, I don't know, God gave me the grace to begin praying. I remember when I prayed an hour, and it seemed like the time had just gone so quickly. I remember praying for 2 hours, and it just seemed as though, you know, time had passed, and where did it go? You know, I think like the disciples who were physically exhausted, we can so easily become spiritually exhausted and we don't keep at it. We need to press in, press in, press in, press on. Don't give up. Reach out and touch Jesus. Reach out. Don't give up. You may have been praying for a long, long time about certain things. Don't give up. Press in, press in, press in. And so the scripture tells us here in verse 29, as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. As they slept, a mighty manifestation of God's presence occurred, and they were sound asleep. I remember there were times when I was a student at CBC. I remember there were visitations of the Holy Spirit. Classes would even be canceled. Not often, but there were those special occasions where God so manifested his presence, and a deep work of the Holy Spirit was being done in our hearts and lives. But alas, there were always a few students who would sit, and they hadn't done their homework, or they hadn't, whatever it was, they would open their books, or they would be involved in something else, and they totally missed what God wanted to do. Friend, here were three disciples, Jesus' choice disciples, who missed the initial encounter when Jesus was manifesting his presence. You know, both Matthew and Mark use the term transfigured to describe what took place. Luke avoids the use of the term transfigured. Why? Well, remember that Luke directed his gospel to the Greeks. The Greeks of that day believed that Greek gods and magicians transformed themselves into other forms. So Luke wisely avoids any pagan connotations this could have to his readers. What took place was not myth. It was not a fairy tale. It was not magic. It happened in real time. Jesus' appearance became altered. If Jesus would show up to us in our lives today in a way differently than we have understood him, would you and I be able to handle it? Jesus' appearance was altered, the scripture says. Matthew chapter 17, verse 2 gives us a clear picture. It says, he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. Verse 29 of our passage in Luke says, the appearance of his face was altered. What altered could be translated meaning became another or became different. Not only that, but Jesus' attire became white and glistening. Verse 29 says his robe became white and glistening. Matthew chapter 17 verse 2 reports it this way. His clothes became as white as the light. And to make the picture even clearer, Mark chapter 9 verse 3 adds, his clothes became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. This suggests that the light of Jesus' face, his countenance, was reflected on the robe that he wore. And the impression is that his whole body took on the same light as his face, and it shone through his garments, making them appear translucent. Wow. This was the essential outshining of the glory that belongs to the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. His body and his clothing became incandescent with the glow of deity. God was visiting with men. Oh, my friend, God wants to visit with you and me today. Hallelujah, he is here. He's calling you by name. He knows you, everything about you. He loves you. He accepts you. He receives you just like you are. And you can come to him. At what point the disciples awaken from their sleep, we are not told. But Luke chapter 9, verse 32 says, when they were fully awake, they beheld, they saw his glory, and the two men who stood with him. Not only this, but they saw the magnificent person of God. You know, I saw recently somewhere somebody had said on the internet, and I'm not on there very much anymore, but they said, if you could talk to anybody who is alive now or who has lived, whom would you want to talk to? And immediately, I thought, Jesus, that's who I'd want to see. They saw the magnificent person of God himself. Now listen, here were the disciples. They interacted with Jesus every day. They saw Jesus heal the sick. They saw Jesus raise the dead. They saw Jesus walk on water. They saw Jesus feed the 5,000. They saw Jesus heal men with leprosy. They saw Jesus in each and every situation. But they had never seen Jesus like they were seeing him today, glorified. Sometimes if Jesus doesn't fit into our little mindset, in our little box, we think, oh, I don't want that. Friend, oh, I pray that you would have a yearning in your heart to see Jesus, his glory, being manifest even here today. And not only this, did they see Jesus? They saw two men with him. Isn't it interesting? Peter, James, and John had never met Moses and Elijah. I mean, they had died years before, right? Our loved ones who are no longer with us, that we miss, and we still love them. Those precious believers, those dear saints, our mothers, our fathers, those precious men of God, our pastors, our Sunday school teachers, those who've touched our lives, those musicians, really. You know, sometimes we don't realize how much we would miss somebody till they're not with us. And my dear friend, Jesus had two men meeting with him, Moses and Elijah. You know, let me just say that you can rest in your spirit. For 14 years, I served as a bereavement counselor and a chaplain in hospice. And I knew the things that I was trained to share. But I share about Jesus. He's the only healer. He is the comforter. The comforter is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that heals broken hearts. And friend, if you're here today and your heart is just crushed, you have not been able to get past the grief of having lost a precious loved one. It could be a child. It could be a precious grandmother, grandfather, father, mother, brother, sister. My friend, the healer is here today. He's here. He's calling you by your name in this service. And if you would just open your heart and say, Jesus, Jesus, I have been so boxed in my thinking. I have not been open to what you want to do in my life. Jesus, I just yield myself to you. Take control of my life. Well, the scripture tells us here in verse 30 and 31, behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Moses, the great lawgiver. Elijah, the flaming prophet. It brings me to Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, right now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So here was the law represented with Moses. Here were the prophets represented with Elijah. And Christ, who is our righteousness, appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration to the lawgiver and to the prophet. What a glorious scene that was. Oh, wow. I should have liked to have been there. But I'm here today. And Jesus Christ, your Savior, your Lord, has not changed. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And He is here today to meet with you and to reveal His glory. Both Moses and Elijah had experienced God's glory while living in the flesh. I have to go back to Exodus. Now I want to share Exodus chapter 33 and just share a few verses about Moses. And Moses said, please, God, he's speaking to God. He says, please show me your glory. Then he said, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be that if while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Ah, but Moses did see the face of God on the Mount of Transfiguration. God did not forget that prayer that Moses, what he had in his heart, show me your glory. And the glory of God was on the Mount of Transfiguration in the person of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he showed him his glory. He is alive now and forevermore. Praise the name of Jesus. But notice, Elijah too experienced God's glory while living in the flesh. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 11 tells us, then it happened as they, Elijah and Elisha, continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Talk about a glorious Old Testament experience. Oh, friend, don't let Satan program you into certain frames of thought, thinking, oh, you know, you'll never amount to anything. My father was an alcoholic. And I remember my uncle. My uncle was a music instructor at Evangel College years ago. And so when I decided where to go to college, I went out to be near my aunt and uncle in Springfield. I remember my uncle had said to me years before, he said, "Now, David, you're never going to amount to anything. Because you have a daddy who's an alcoholic. And you don't have much of a chance." To me, it was like saying sic'em to a dog. God just put it in my heart. I was determined just to follow Jesus, and I did not care who said what. Thank God I had a praying mother and grandmother. And listen, friend, Satan would love to get you boxed into thinking, you're a loser. You're no good. You're never going to amount to anything. That's a lie from the pit. That did not come from God. God loves you. He accepts you. He sent Jesus for you. Jesus is a transformer. He transforms lives. He did it for this old boy. And he can do it for each of us. Thank God. Thank God he is no respecter of persons, the scripture says. So they talked about a subject. You know, I'm so glad the scripture kind of tells us what they were talking about. You know, because I would always wonder if the scripture hadn't told us. Yeah, what were Elijah, Moses, and Jesus talking about? You know, it's interesting that the Bible tells us what they talked about. Matter of fact, let me just say this. They had talked about the subject that Peter dared to rebuke Jesus for only 1 week earlier. 1 week earlier. You can read it in Mark chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. He began to teach them that the Son of God, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And the scripture says he spoke this word openly. But Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Think of it. 1 week earlier, Peter had the brass. He loved Jesus, but he didn't know what he was saying. And he dared to rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes me think of Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So if I'm going to boast, if I'm going to glory in anything, I want to glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The shadows of Calvary were all already beginning to fall upon Jesus. And the Bible says, that Moses, Elijah, and Jesus talked about his departure from earth to heaven. What a conversation. Whoa. Jesus talking about what would happen just a few days later. Sharing with them how sinful men would dare to crucify him. And listen, there are people living in America today who would gladly crucify Jesus again. Don't number yourself with that crowd. If you're going to follow Jesus, mean it in your heart and follow him. Not halfway, not three quarters. Follow him all the way. You know, you study the scripture and it was the women who stayed with Jesus around the cross. The disciples forsook him and fled. Follow Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Listen, there are a lot of false ideologies going around, a lot of things that are very demeaning and that would seek to destroy your faith in God. Satan is after your faith. If he can destroy your faith in Jesus, he will. But you settle it in your soul. Before the battles of life come, settle it in your heart. By the help and grace of God, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 31 says, "Then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.'" They had been speaking about Jesus' departure, his decease. The literal word there is speaking of his exodus, his going out. It's literally what it means. It brings to mind, you know, the book of Exodus is the book of departure. God had delivered his people Israel from slavery in bondage in Egypt. God still delivers people out of slavery. You know, people who are enslaved to certain habits. We are enslaved to certain ways of thinking. If you want God to transform your life, let Jesus change your thought process. Memorize scripture. Meditate on the word of God. Get the word of God in your heart. Listen, when my uncle told me, he said, "Son, you're never going to amount to anything, David." By the grace of God, I just began memorizing certain scriptures. 1 John was the book I took. And I started memorizing scriptures out of the book of 1 John, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, and so forth. And I meditate on that, because the Bible said I can be confident. And I needed my confidence built up. I failed the 8th grade because of all the dynamics, you know, in my life. So I failed. But by God's grace, when we have setbacks in life, don't let that setback define you. You follow Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Master. They spoke of his exodus, and Moses was well acquainted with the exodus. And in like manner, Jesus is going to accomplish the exodus, the departure of you and me from this world to the next. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know the scripture very well, and I know it and I have it memorized, but I just can't think of the first phrase, and I don't know why I can't think of that. But I'm at a certain age, I guess, that I'm allowed to have a few stray thoughts. Let not your heart be troubled. There are a lot of Americans who are troubled about our nation. Gas prices, our borders. We're concerned about our troops overseas, those who are overseas. Many people are concerned about COVID. Many people are worried about, Jesus said someday that men's hearts would fail for fear for looking after those things that are coming upon them. So here's a word from Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. Very soon, Jesus is going to return and take us out of here. Thank God. Serve Jesus. Don't compromise your scriptural convictions. Stay true to Jesus. I'll just say this. I wasn't planning on it. Years ago, my mother was my mentor. Pastor speaks of his mentor, and I've thought, what a wonderful mentor he had. I wish I would have known him. But my mother would take me aside, and she said one day, she said, "Son," she said, "I heard a preacher say that one out of every 1,000 marriages where one is a Christian and the other is not, that one person stays true to Christ." She said, "Son, I made up my mind I'm going to be that one." We've got to be determined.
before the battles of life come, you just determine in your heart, by the grace of God, I'm going to follow Jesus. When nobody else is around, nobody's looking, it's only you and God there. And I remember my mother just telling me this. She said, now, son, she took me aside one day. She said, son, someday, and I was only a boy. I don't know how old I was. I say this to my grandchildren who are here today. I say it to every one of our children. Someday the communists may take over America, son. She said, would you still live for Jesus? Will you still follow Jesus? And I thought about it and I said, well, Mom, with the help of God, I'll live for Jesus. Well, son, she mentioned a few scenarios and then she said this, and this is what really got me. She said, son, if I turned away from following Jesus and I no longer served him, would you still follow Jesus? That blew me away. I could never imagine my mother not following Jesus. It was a totally foreign thought. You know, we need to settle it in our hearts that we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Colossians 3, verse 4. The old gospel song says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. How true it is. I'm just going through. So that's what they spoke about. They spoke of Jesus' exodus, when he will ultimately bring many into the promised land. Hallelujah. And while all this is true, Peter spoke up. He didn't fully understand what was going on. So he said, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. Just a word of wisdom here. When you don't know what to say, it's usually best to say nothing. Yeah. I have suffered at times from foot in mouth disease. Have you ever had that? Somehow it seemed like my whole foot would fit in too. I mean, I just, oh Lord, how could have I said that? You know, in all likelihood, this took place in late September, around the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. And so with Moses being present, having led the children of Israel through the wilderness, Moses knew what it was, where the Israelites would pitch a tent or, you know, a booth or something, and they would travel through the wilderness. So the Israelites did this during the Feast of Tabernacles in late September. And if you would have gone to Jerusalem at that time, you would have seen the streets, the highways into Jerusalem, just filled with tents and booths, people, temporary shelters set up as they would come to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. So thinking of this, Moses realized, you know, Lord, let's build three tabernacles for you, Moses, and Elijah. You know, like many Peter did not understand the superlative power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what happens in our society today so often? Listen. By their religious practices, people tend to bring Jesus down to the level of their saints and religious heroes. We bring Jesus down to our level, you know, where rather than worship and honor and glorify the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, they venerate the followers of Christ. And my friend, brings to mind Hebrews chapter 3, verse 3. For this one, Jesus Christ,
has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. Let us give all the glory to Jesus, not to Moses, not to Elijah. Great men of God, they were. But we worship Jesus alone. We magnify our Savior. Now, this wonderful passage of Scripture has focused upon the manifest presence of God and the magnificent person of God. I just want to touch for a few moments on the majestic power of God here in verse 34. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. God's power was quite evident to the disciples as the cloud came and overshadowed them. Let me take you back here in my Bible to Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 8. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And now I read that Peter, John, and James fell on their faces in fear, for the voice came and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." It's not too important that you remember the message or the preacher, but it is vitally important that you and I hear him. Hear him. Oh, my friend, the Bible says in Matthew 17 and 6, when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. When the Bible says they were greatly afraid, it means literally they were filled with fear. I would have felt the same way. God the Father speaking from the glory. Friend, God still speaks today. He's speaking to you even now, to prepare you for what he has for you. No wonder the disciples were afraid. They had experienced God's power. Together they had witnessed the glorious transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had been enveloped by the cloud and heard the voice even while Peter was talking. "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Friend, when God speaks, you and I need to listen. What's God speaking to your heart today? Perhaps there are some here. If you died today, you don't know that you'd be ready to meet God. None of us are guaranteed our next heartbeat. Are you ready to meet Jesus? God has been speaking to your heart. Perhaps you are here and you have been bound by grief and sorrow. Listen, I remember in hospice, I remember there were those who had committed suicide because a family member had died and they just didn't know how to get through the grief, the sorrow, the deep, deep pain they felt. Jesus, the healer, is here today. He's speaking to your heart. Do you hear his voice? There are some here today who need a divine touch of divine healing. Jesus Christ, the healer, is here today.
He's here. My buddy, my new friend Rocco, had been in the wheelchair, for 7 months? Or it's been 7 months since you've been out. But he was in the wheelchair. He would ride over here in the parking lot. Now he's up and about. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. The healer is here for you today. What's God speaking to your heart? Are you troubled? Are you fearful about the future? Are you worried about job security? The dynamics going on in your job, and it just so stresses you out, and you don't know what to do next? My dear friend, Jesus Christ, the healer, is here. The Savior is here. The Deliverer is here. Are you bound by marijuana? Are you bound by cigarettes? Are you bound by some habit? Are you bound by a filthy tongue? What is it? My friend, Jesus, the Son of the living God, is here. He is risen. He is alive. He is here. Maybe you are sitting here today. Your heart is heavy because you have children and you have grandchildren who are not serving Jesus. And you love being in the presence of the Lord. You love Jesus with all your heart. And yet you have a tear in your soul. You invite them to church and they just don't ever want to come. My friend, the Master who stills the waves, the Master who raises the dead, the Master who appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration is here. And he's here to deliver. He's here to answer your prayers. So let me just share this yet. There is something so beautiful in this scripture. Matter of fact, just before I say that, what is God speaking to your heart today? Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 29. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Don't let politicians, don't let religion, don't let prejudices, don't let opinions, don't let circumstances, don't let anything hinder you from hearing God's voice to your heart and life. It is more important that you and I hear God than anyone or anything else. Peter never forgot this occasion in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. He says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain." Peter never forgot his encounter on the Mount of Transfiguration. When the cloud disappeared, Elijah and Moses did too. We are told in verse 36 of our scripture, "When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things that they had seen." Now, there's such a beautiful thing here. This is the last thing I want to share with you. It's so beautiful. Notice what it says. They kept quiet and told no one in any of those days the things that they had seen. And Matthew picks it up right here in chapter 17 and verse 7. And he gives us this little nugget. And I hope the Holy Spirit will make it real to you. Ever so gently, the Bible says in verse 7, Matthew 17, Jesus came and touched them. He said, "Arise, do not be afraid." Isn't that just like Jesus? Isn't that so beautiful? The disciples were in such fear, for they had heard the voice from heaven. They had seen the manifest glory of God, the manifest presence of God. And there was nothing left in them. They fell on their faces, and Jesus touched them. What is it that you're afraid of? What is it that is keeping you from coming to Jesus? What is that thing in your life that's been holding you back? Is it the thought that, you know, well, what's everybody going to think? You know, if I give my heart to Jesus, I'll tell you this, the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents. I'm much, much more concerned about what Jesus thinks than anybody else. But our fears bind us. Our fears enslave us. And Jesus is coming to your heart, to your life, and he's saying, arise. Do not be afraid. There are some perhaps here today whom God is speaking to your heart about a call into the ministry. You've been wrestling with it. It's a little troubling to think about moving away and preparing yourself for ministry, or maybe it wouldn't involve moving away. I don't know. God knows. But you've been putting it off and putting it off. And Jesus is coming to your heart. He's saying, son, I love you. I lay down my life for you. Daughter, I love you so deeply that I laid down my life for you, and I'm calling you. Will you give your life to me in service? I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment to look to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I'm so overwhelmed to think, Lord, that you would call every one of us by name, from the youngest to the oldest. You are calling us by name. You know where we all are on life's journey. You accept us. You love us. You want to change us and transform us. But we're afraid to let go and let God do what he wants to do. Now, precious Holy Spirit, I ask you to move upon us and manifest Jesus. I pray, O God, that as we build an altar right where we are seated, you see the altar that we've built. I ask you, Jesus, to visit every one of your people. Touch us. Touch us, Lord. Give us, Lord, a heart cry for you, a love for you. Oh, God, we're going to pull in the net now, Lord Jesus. And I just ask you to be glorified and manifest your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're here this morning and God has spoken to your heart. Maybe God has spoken to you about a call to the ministry. It may be that you're here and God has spoken to your heart that you need to surrender your life lock, stock, and barrel to Jesus. Like my mother said, son, I heard a preacher say that only 1 out of 1,000 mixed marriages does that one stay true to Jesus. And I made up my mind I was going to be that one. Will you be that one? Will you also be that one? Maybe in your home it's not so peaceful. In your home, you go back from a wonderful morning service as we have each week. But you go back to your job or to your home or to your environment, whatever it is. And there are certain dynamics that just tear you apart inwardly. Will you settle it in your soul? You're going to follow Jesus. Will you be that one? I'm going to ask you, wherever you are, God has spoken to your heart. Perhaps about a call to ministry. Perhaps you need a healing touch. Perhaps you need deliverance from bondage, from fear, whatever it is, worry. Just going to ask you to stand right where you are. You're here. God has spoken to you today. He's called you by your name. I'm just going to ask you. I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward. But if we can't stand for Jesus in the church, how are we ever going to stand for him outside the church? Jesus is here. He wants to touch you. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to confirm his call on your life. Are there others? Just stand up right now. There are those who've stood. There are others. Just stand up as God has called you. He's speaking to your heart. Now I'm going to ask anyone else before we just turn this to prayer. Anybody else you want to stand? I'm just going to stand for Jesus. Maybe Jesus is calling you to ministry in the church or wherever it is. Now I'm going to ask our congregation to stand. And those who are near those who are standing, you've seen those who are standing, I want you to go to them and lay your hands on them. We're going to pray. And I want you to pray for them. God is going to hear your prayer. God is going to answer from heaven. God is going to reveal himself and let him manifest his glory right where you are. Let's just worship the Lord for a moment. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise you for your precious Holy Spirit. We praise you, Lord, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, as we lift our voices and we lift our hearts to Jesus, I ask you, oh God, to lay your hand, your healing hand upon your people, your delivering hand upon your people. Oh God in heaven, move as only you can. Lord, call those into ministry, whether here in the church or perhaps in a pulpit or as a missionary. Or, oh God, lay your hand on your people. You are calling people even now. Jesus, precious Jesus, we worship you and we praise you. Because, oh God, we know you're here. And we know, oh Lord, things change. They have to change when Jesus is present. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus for every victory. Praise the name of Jesus for every healing. Praise the name of Jesus for every deliverance. Praise the name of Jesus that when we return to our homes, we return to our jobs, having made a commitment, a fresh commitment to follow you, that, oh God, you're there in power. Work mightily in all of your people. Oh God, thank you, thank you, thank you for this church, precious church fellowship. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over Pastor and Treva. We ask you, Lord, to give them a safe journey home. Strengthen them. Enlarge their borders, enlarge their vision. Oh God, we thank you for such wonderful shepherds as you've given us. Thank you for our church leaders, our elders, our deacons, our teachers, our servants in the sound booth. Oh God, thank you for our worship team. We are so blessed. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all glory, all praise, all honor. We honor the name above every name, the precious, holy, matchless name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Denny if he would please come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Service, Brother David told me he hadn't preached since October or last fall, but he definitely didn't sound like it, did it? I love that we get to hear the heart of a pastor, a man that desires to see people grow and draw closer to God. It's such a wonderful thing. As we dismiss try to make sure to shake his hand and let him know how much you appreciate him sharing with us. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing and nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.